Amen. So, wisdom is something that we all need, don't we, as believers?
And
it's what keeps us safe in our walk with God. It's what will help us to make right decisions in life. It's what will strengthen our faith in God and deepen our understanding and knowledge of God. But it's not something that you and I can just learn by reading a book or even just by reading the Bible, God's Word. It only comes as we apply God's Word to our lives. And the wisdom that you and I need is wisdom that comes from God. Because God alone is wise. It's not the wisdom of this world that we need, which is a fleshly, carnal wisdom, man's wisdom, which is built on an edifice of self-interest and pride and the flesh. In Proverbs 9 and verse 10, it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." Psalm 111 and 10 repeats that. It says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do his commandments. His praise endures forever." And in Job chapter 28 and verse 28, it says, "And to man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding." So the scripture makes it clear here that wisdom has to begin with the fear of God. If wisdom was a building, the fear of God would be the foundation that it's built upon. It's the beginning of wisdom. As we live our lives before God, having a reverence for who God is and wanting to obey and wanting to please God by departing from evil, from self-seeking, and letting God's will be done in our lives, then we began on that road to wisdom. And as the scripture said in Job, to fear God is wisdom. To depart from evil is understanding. If you want wisdom this morning, if you want understanding, then we have to start with fearing God and departing from evil. Too many Christians have a casual attitude towards God. It's God Almighty rather than God Almighty. Living with compromise, living with mixture, carousing, as it tells us in the New Testament, in the daytime, compromising with worldliness, and that is not the fear of God, is it? God is a God to be feared. And the scripture tells us it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Jesus warned us not to fear those that can kill the body, but to fear him who is able to kill the body and cast our souls into hell. God is holy. God is awesome. He is a God to be revered this morning. He's not to be taken lightly. That's not to say this morning that we walk around trembling all the time, although however it does say to work out our salvation, does it not, with fear and trembling. But what we need is a reverence for God. Yes, we are loved by God. Yes, God is merciful. Yes, he is our heavenly Father. Yes, we're saved by grace this morning and mercy. And without that, none of us can stand before him. But we can't presume upon God's grace. It's not a cheap grace. It's not a grace that we can just casually trample on. We were bought with a heavy price. The precious blood of Jesus Christ. Scripture says that God is not mocked, that a man will reap what he sows. God is no respecter of persons this morning. We should have a healthy fear of the judge of all the earth. And when we have that right fear of God, we'll depart from evil. We will depart from iniquity. We will forsake sin. We will turn from evil doing. We'll repent. We will mourn over our sin. We'll want to please God. We'll want to draw near to God. We'll want to seek after him, knowing that it's only in him that you and I can be saved this morning. It's only in him that we can be rescued from our fallen ways. And the Bible tells us that that is the beginning of wisdom. In other words, when we have this attitude towards God, we're beginning to learn something. We're beginning to wise up. And it's from this starting point that God can impart his wisdom to us. And God's wisdom is far superior this morning to man's wisdom. 1 Corinthians 1:24 to 26 says, "But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. The foolishness of God is wiser than men. It's not that God is foolish, but even if he were foolish, his foolishness would still be wiser than the wisest of men. God is infinitely wiser than men. So the wisdom that we are seeking is a wisdom that is from above. It's not an earthly wisdom. In the book of James, chapter 3 and 14:17, it says, "But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy." See, earthly wisdom is self-seeking, isn't it? Sensual, it says. It even says the word demonic. It is man's wisdom. It is worldly wisdom. It is the get what you can, do to others before they do it to you type wisdom. The craftiness of men, self-seeking wisdom, self-advancing wisdom, the secret to success type wisdom. And it all centres around self and lust and greed and envy and its men's schemes and cunning plans. And sadly, it creeps into many churches too. Health, wealth and prosperity. It's all about me. Whereas God's wisdom, the scripture tells us, is first pure. It is undefiled. It's incorruptible. It's peaceable. It's gentle. It's willing to yield. Full of mercy and good fruits, it says. Without partiality. Without favouritism. Without hypocrisy. It's not self-seeking. It's willing to yield to God's authority. It's gentle. It's not demanding. You know, the world out there is always demanding, isn't it? We want it all and we want it now, is the cry of this world. Whereas the wisdom from above is gentle, peaceable, it's willing to yield. There's no favouritism with God. Men love to have favourites. They love to show partiality. They love the best seats in the synagogues. They love to be seen of men and be hypocrites. The Pharisees thought they were wise, didn't they? They thought they were the oracles of God. But Jesus said they were the hypocrites, whitewashed gravestones, blind leaders of the blind, self-seeking, proud. They had a form of religion. They looked wise, but it was a false wisdom, wasn't it? Yeah. Colossians 2:22 says, speaking about rules, the rules and regulations of men, it says, which all concern things which perish with the using, according to the commandments and doctrines of men. These things indeed have an appearance of wisdom in self-imposed religion, false humility and neglect of the body, but are of no value against the indulgence of the flesh. See, religion and the commandments of men may have an appearance of wisdom, but in reality they are of no value in the spiritual life. Man's religion is false wisdom. It's self-imposed religion. The commandments and doctrines of men. The neglect of the body. Rules and regulations, legalism, does not produce the righteousness of God. 1 Corinthians 1:18-31 says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For Jews request a sign and Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to Greeks the Greeks' foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God." because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised, God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption, that as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. It's all of God, isn't it, this morning? Righteousness, sanctification, redemption, wisdom, it's all of him. And God, in his wisdom, has rejected the wise men of this world. Says the world through wisdom didn't know God. There's a lot of chattering classes out there, aren't there? Vain philosophers, men who are wise in their own eyes, men who claim to have all the answers to life, but in truth they do not know God. For all of their so-called wisdom, they are blind. Religious leaders following earthly wisdom and commandments of men, church tradition, blind leading the blind. You know, God cannot be figured out by human wisdom. God can only be understood when he chooses to reveal his truth to our hearts as we respond to him in truth according to the Spirit, the Scripture, through the Spirit. You can't learn God from a book. You need his Spirit, don't you, to reveal Christ to you. You need a heart that's willing to receive. God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, the Scripture says. Thank God for that, that God has chosen to reveal his truth to the likes of you and I. Foolish people. Do you remember in Acts 4 when Peter and John were before the elders and the high priests? In verse 13 he says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marvelled and they realised that they had been with Jesus. You see, you can be uneducated, untrained, unlearned, even foolish, but God can give you a wisdom that far outstrips the wisdom of this world. A wisdom that's from above, and we can ask God for it if we lack it, and it brings glory to God. I'm not saying there's anything wrong this morning with being educated and trained, but we need God's wisdom. James 1 and 5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. So we can ask God for wisdom if we lack it. It says he gives us liberally, generously, without reproach. God won't reproach you this morning if you ask for wisdom. It's not wrong to ask for wisdom, is it? And we all do lack, do we not? But we have a God who liberally supplies. And if you're lacking wisdom today, then ask of God and he will give it. And I referred to this last time I preached. Solomon, he asked God for wisdom, didn't he? It pleased God that he hadn't asked for riches, unlike the today's name it and claim it for eternity. But he asked God for wisdom to be able to judge between good and evil. And when God heard his request for that, it says the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. For then God said to him, because you've asked this thing and have not asked long life for yourself, nor have asked riches for yourself, nor have asked the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern justice. Behold, I have done according to your words. See, I have given you a wise and understanding heart, so that there has not been anyone like you before you, nor shall any like you arise after you. And I have also given you what you have not asked, both riches and honour, so there shall not be anyone like you among the kings all your days. So if you walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments, as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days. See, Solomon knew his lack. And he said to God, I'm a little child. I do not know how to go out or to come in. He humbled himself before God. He was honest with God. He's basically saying to God, I'm lacking here, God, for the responsibility you've been given to me. He was overwhelmed with all of this responsibility as a king, and he admitted before God that he lacked the required wisdom to deal with it. We need to admit before God our lack, yes, our need, our limitations. We need to be humble before God and admit that we need something from God. Yes. We need his wisdom, his understanding. And this speech that he made pleased God. God was pleased that he'd asked for this. God made him the wisest man who'd ever lived. And on top of that, he still blessed him with riches and long life anyway. See, God looks at our heart, doesn't he? What are we seeking from God? More of him or more for us? Are we God seeking this morning or are we self-seeking? We need God's wisdom. That's what will keep us safe in this life. It's what will keep us on that narrow path. And it's when we act in our own resources, when we follow our own plans, when we think we know best, we're heading for trouble and disaster. We need the wisdom of God. 1 Corinthians 2 and 2 says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." You see, here Paul is making a distinction between the wisdom of men and the true wisdom, which is not the wisdom of this age. But he says the hidden wisdom of God, the mystery of Christ crucified, which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers, it says, of this age knew, or they wouldn't have crucified Jesus, had they understood. Ephesians 3 refers to this in verse 9. "And to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Christ, Jesus Christ, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known to the church, to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord." We need this true wisdom, don't we? Spiritual wisdom, godly wisdom. And that in turn leads to a godly life, a righteous life, a spiritual life, and a life that will bear fruit everlasting. 1 Corinthians 3, 18 to 20 says, "Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you seems to be wise in this age, let him become a fool, that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, for it is written, he catches the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile." The thoughts of the wise are futile, the Bible records. The wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. And it tells us here, we have to become fools in order to become wise. In other words, we have to unlearn all the wisdom of this world, that we can learn true wisdom, the wisdom of God. And that takes humility, honesty, acknowledgement before God, admitting that we lack, that we ain't as clever as we think we are, that actually God does know best. Why do we insist on our own plans and actions? It's because we're selfish, aren't we? But if we'd yield to God's wisdom and his counsel, and follow his commandments to do them, we'd have a life that is blessed and probably a long one too, by the grace of God. 2 Corinthians 1:12 says, "For our boasting is this, the testimony of our conscience, that we conducted ourselves in the world in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, and more abundantly toward you." 2 Timothy 3:15, and that from childhood you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. So we learn wisdom through the word of God, as God reveals it to us through his spirit, and then we apply it to our lives, and then we will grow in wisdom and understanding and mature. And I like that where it says we are to conduct ourselves in this world in simplicity and godly sincerity. Simplicity. Not looking to scheme and find fault in everything, but simplicity of heart. Believing the word of God, trusting God, having godly sincerity. In other words, not being double-minded, not being a hypocrite, but being sincere in our love for God. Not walking in fleshly wisdom, not listening to the philosophies of our day and the political correctness too that we hear day in and day out. But we need to stick to this. That's where the wisdom is. And that's the only guidance we need, the word of God.
Yes.
And that's what will keep us. I couldn't preach on wisdom this morning without preaching from Proverbs, the book of wisdom. Proverbs 2. My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the paths of justice and preserves the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity and every good path. When wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you, understanding will keep you, to deliver you from the way of evil. For the man who speaks perverse things, from those who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perversity of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and who are devious in their paths, to deliver you from the immoral woman, from the seductress who flatters with her words, who forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. For her house leads down to death and her paths to the dead. None who go to her return, nor do they regain the paths of life, so you may walk in the way of goodness and keep to the paths of righteousness. For the upright will dwell in the land, and the blameless will remain in it, but the wicked will be cut off from the earth, and the unfaithful will be uprooted from it. You and I this morning, if we keep to the word of God in our lives, we'll be kept safe, won't we? Amen. God will preserve us, he'll keep us, but also he'll give us that ability to discern between good and evil. And we need that in these days more than ever before. So let's just pray this morning for that wisdom that comes from above. Amen. Let's just pray.